So I'd like to call the regular meeting of the Northwest City Council to order. Joanna, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Novak?
Here.
Councilmember Baker?
Here.
Councilmember Parsons?
Here.
Councilmember Monroe?
Here.
Councilmember Pike?
Here.
Councilmember Downing?
Here.
Councilmember Miller will be absent tonight. Councilmember Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Winneke?
Here.
I'd invite you to please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance and remain standing for the invocation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Creator of the heavens and earth, give us broad shoulders to bear the burdens of our community, to be strong to meet the challenges, to lift up and protect those who are vulnerable, to measure the length and breadth of every issue, to weigh the decisions that must be made, and to join with you and serve your people. At the end of the day, may we raise our hands in honor and celebration of this Northland community. Amen.
Please be seated.
Next are agenda additions and deletions, and I don't believe there are any this evening. And we have some presentations, and I would invite council to join me below for our employee service awards. And Paula, come forward.
It seems that we don't do as many of these or for the length of time as normal, and we have one who's here tonight. This one I think deserves special merit and is certainly appropriate to have all of the council down here. This is a certificate of recognition and appreciation presented to Beth Carmesino. Beth, you come up. During the last part of last year, she completed 35 years of service to the city. I'm certainly glad. You know, I could almost say, like my kids say to me, "Man, you're older than the city." You've learned to yourself from the beginning. So we can't thank you enough for all your dedication and commitment to the city and its citizens. Next, we have public invited to be heard, limited to 5 minutes per speaker. If there's someone who would like to address council, I'd like you to please come forward, sign in, and state your name for the record.
Dallas Briggs, Ward 1. I have some questions about CR 12 this evening. I don't know whether you'll answer them now, but at the time that it comes up for your discussion and vote, I hope that these questions will be answered.
Okay.
First off is, how and when will the city choose a realtor? Question two, is it the city's intention to waive the permit fees? And if so, that would be discriminatory to other people who would also like to rehab their homes. It's like taking, I understand it would be taking it out of one pocket and putting it in another, but it's the accounting of the true cost of what it does that ought to be recorded. And number three, in Exhibit 1, page 1 of 2, item 5, reads, "The contractor shall also assist the city with additional professional services including but not limited to real estate brokerage, property inspection, title insurance, appraisal, and home warranty." I take it from that anything that costs money, that is the real estate fees, a home warranty, title insurance, and a title search, the city is the party who will pay for that up front. Is that correct? That is my three questions.
Okay, great. We'll make sure that those get answered in the discussion.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to address council?
Dr. Sean Reif, Ward 1. I'd like to take the opportunity to express my thanks to my fellow residents of North Glen Ward 1, East District Comprehensive Planning Meeting. At that meeting, I enjoy interacting with my former planning commission colleagues, as well as the citizens, to listen, discuss, and ultimately reach a consensus of how we would maintain the quality of life. I'm disappointed that I will not be reappointed to continue serving the Planning Commission. But I understand the political nature of these decisions. I appreciate the dedication of attending two meetings a month, in addition to the countless hours to review plans and reports provided by our North Glen planning professionals. These are provided for each application reviewed by the board, and it will always be a challenge to get seven members to express their opinions and views, listen to the views of their colleagues, and then to reach consensus on the matter at hand. I hope that more of the public will attend Planning Commission meetings and become informed citizens. If we are to have a winter like we did a couple of winters ago, and winter's not over here in Colorado until it's over, and we have freezing rains and heavy and frequent snows, I would like to take this moment to thank those people who keep our city and county humming by doing their job outside and doing it well. Whether it is snow plowing, postal deliveries, utility workers, sanitation workers, and anyone else who does their job outside facing the elements, every day I wish a great big thank you for a job well done. Cheers to the city of North Glen for plowing and sanding the walking paths. Although it is brutally cold outside, residents will get their exercise outdoors, and it's nice to have clean paths to walk on or run on. And a question I'm addressing to North Glen Council, it may concern Adams 12, and if they have a truancy program. I've been witnessing a number of elementary and adolescent youths out in the open spaces when it should be school time. And I just wonder what they do to reduce chronic absenteeism, and if there's a phone call that we can call on. Okay? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate your appreciation of our staff and your fellow citizens in participating as well. I don't know, Gay, if you have any, as the school board rep, comments on the truancy.
Well,
sorry.
I don't have a phone number to give you, but I can find one to find out if they have one. The problem with, and especially with the police department trying to enforce it, with school of choice and homeschooling and all of the things that are going on, the schedules are completely different. Now, they were off this last Monday for Martin Luther King Day, so there was everybody off that day, but I can certainly find out if they have a number.
And I think my daughter's on the District 12 Policy Committee, and I know at their last meeting they were talking about absences and truancy and how to be more forceful in trying to get kids to school because there's that direct correlation between attendance and achievement. But I don't know, I'm sure there's some kind of policies, but we could find out and get you some information on that. So, thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to address council?
My name is Chuck Carlson. I'm with Ward 4. Some time ago, while we were in the throes of selecting a new manager, I received a communication from my councilman in which the city attorney states that after reviewing some pictures and internal emails, alleges that there is a dispute between myself and an adjoining property owner. Obviously, the committee was denied access to the two letters addressed to the city manager's office on August 13th of 07 and March the 29th of 08, which points the finger where it belongs. As I have stated before in the two unanswered letters to the city administrator's office, I do not have a dispute with the adjoining property owner. He, like myself, are victims of the improper, faulty, and erroneous directives and guidance of this city regulatory agency regarding an obvious problem that has been festering now for over a year without positive action on the part of the city agency to correct this blunder. In numerous phone calls to the building department requesting a consultation on the applicable building codes and regulations relating to the construction, grading, and drainage, I've still received no meeting response from this agency. When all of the homes in North Glen were built, the Pearlmac engineers established a common drainage level between the properties. I find it inconceivable that the city building codes would permit a change in the established grading level without adequate provision being made to prevent the added dirt and rocks from one property encroaching upon another property, and in this case also using the boards on my fence as a retaining wall, which are inside my property line, and which, even as we speak, are eating away at the boards on my fence. I will feel lucky if my fence is still standing a year from now. Since the city administration has not responded and I have otherwise received either a stonewalling or a song and dance routine from the building department without explanation or positive action to correct the problem, this onslaught of dirt and rocks now encroaches upon my property as well as an additional 9-foot extension of fence built with boards on the fence 8+inches above the established construction grade level, so that I've had to remove over 2 5-gallon containers of dirt and rocks that have already washed down upon my property as much as 18 inches, killing the grass on my lawn. This wash is still continuing as predicted in my letters. In summation, my city government has failed miserably and its responsibility to protect my property by enforcing proper construction and drainage regulations so that I now regretfully have to appeal to the council as a whole to address this problem in a constructive manner. If any of the council members have concerns about these facts, I cordially invite them to come to my home and view it for themselves. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And we'll ask the, because our new city manager was not on board at the dates you mentioned, we'll ask him to follow up with you and see what we can do. Thank you. Mr. Brown?
Thank you.
Lee Brown, Ward 4. I have been studying the 2009 capital improvement project budget with some concern. In 2007, staff estimated a cost of $150,000 for the proposed Webster Lake Shoreline Rehabilitation Project. In 2008, the adopted budget was increased $75,000 with no apparent expenditures in 2007. Therefore, the 2008 total estimated expenditure was to be $225,000. $150,000 for 2007 plus $75,000 more for 2008. In the 2009 budget, which you just approved, the carryover from 2008 is down to only $100,000. Again, with no apparent previous expenditures of any kind in 2008. Apparently, this job estimate has vacillated from an estimated $150,000 in 2007 to a total of $225,000 in 2008. And now down to only $100,000 in 2009. My first question is, does anyone on council or staff know what on earth is going on here with these wild swings in estimates? And is this $100,000 item for 2009 that's in our 2009 budget needed at all? Apparently nobody has the answer to that.
No, I'm waiting. You only have 5 minutes, so I wanted you to finish, and then I'll respond to
your
questions.
How much have I used? Maybe I'm talking too slow.
No, two.
Okay, you want me to go ahead with the rest of my question before you
give me an answer? Well, to address the questions, when the item first came up, I believe there's a staff report, and there was discussion on council as to the treatment along the shoreline. It eventually was referred back to the Parks and Recreation Board for a recommendation from them. The recommendation that came back was for, and please correct me if I'm not remembering this, was for a treatment that was less expensive. And all of this is taken from 2007 to 2008, and now we're into 2009.
It also reduced the size of the project.
Yes. And it was in conjunction with another project that we had bid it out, and we had prices that were good to a certain point in time. When council decided to look at changing the project, those bid prices went away. So I think, if I'm remembering right, the budget went up, but we also referred it to the Parks and Recreation Board for their input.
Thank you. That begs my next question.
Okay.
In about May of 2008, Mr. Dwight Kimsey, an expert in most things water, proposed a plan to save the city perhaps tens of thousands of dollars by the use of special erosion mats then available and now used on various shoreline properties throughout this country. My second question is, did anyone on council or staff follow up on Mr. Kimsey's money-saving suggestion in 2008?
Yes.
And if so, what was the result, please?
Again, that was at the point that it was referred back to the Parks and Recreation Board to to look into that further, and I believe, now I may be remembering this, I can hardly remember what happened this morning, let alone last year, but the understanding of the project between Mr. Kimsey and the board and our staff was not in total alignment. And so when it came back out of the Parks and Recreation Board, I believe there was a different recommendation. But Mr. Kimsey was part of that discussion. So, yes, it was addressed, and, yes, it was considered. Am I? I can't remember.
That's the way I remember.
It was logged out.
Okay. Yes.
And is this still something that can be delayed for another year or two at the beginning of this recession?
That I don't know. And I don't know if the manager has a comment on this. Probably not specifically. You know, we can always delay it. It will just get more expensive to address later on. And those are the choices that will. Yeah, those are the choices that we'll have to make.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to address council? Seeing no one come forward, we will move on the agenda then. Next is the consent agenda. And I would move approval of items A, B, C, and D.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Please open the vote.
We'll close that vote, and the consent agenda passes unanimously.
Next is resolutions, the first of which this evening is CR 11. Joanne, would you please read the title?
A resolution approving the additional expenditure of $2,133.78 for the 120th Avenue Bridge enhancements.
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve CR 11. Discussion? Okay.
I just want to say thank you for getting us the information I needed. Thank
you. Irk?
Why is it so late? It's 4 years ago. We did 120th Bridge, I believe.
Do you want to address that?
Good evening. I'm Amy Ward, the Acting Logistics Manager. And unfortunately, I wasn't here at the beginning of the project. The project did finish in 2007, and there were, in discussions with staff, there were multiple calls that were made to the City of Westminster to get the invoice. So I, on the part of the City of Westminster, I cannot explain why it took so long for them to invoice us.
Then my second question, has it already been paid?
No, because of the additional $2,137, I believe, that in addition that we would need to pay the invoice with
Amy.
Approval from you.
Thank you, Amy. Mm-hmm.
And just to note that Westminster was the project manager on that project. Any other discussion, questions? Hearing none, please open the vote on CR 11. Please vote.
We'll close that vote, and CR 11 passes unanimously.
Next is CR 12. Would you please read the title?
A resolution approving the Neighborhood Renewal Initiative Program contract between the City of North Glen and Value Builders.
Have a motion? Can we have a motion to discuss?
I'll move to approve.
Seconded that.
Moved and seconded to discuss CR 12. Let's open it up for discussion. Okay. Sorry, Sherry?
I won't drag this out. I really just want to say that I'm not going to support this tonight. We had several conversations last year that we really wanted to try and work with NNDC on things such as this and exactly what this program does are the very same things that I feel NNDC can do for us. There were some things in the way that NNDC was disqualified that I don't like it. There was reference to sustainability and their financial stability, and there was never a request for any financial documentation. So I really I'd rather see this go back and have NNDC take this money and do something with it instead of sending it out to a different company. And we already had given direction they wanted our staff to work with NNDC. So that's my standing.
We go down the road. Gay, then Joan.
And as I was reading this whole thing, I was thinking to myself, going, well, NNDC's done that. And it's, so I have to echo Councilwoman Pies. I absolutely agree with her. I think this is a project that NNDC can do. I also believe that because they're a nonprofit organization, they can do it for less. They have those people lined up, such as a realtor, and the people that we need to have consultations with and stuff, so they have those people already within their purview. So I won't support this either.
Joe?
And that's essentially what I intended to say tonight. I feel that we as a city need to learn to manage our business partnerships better. Perhaps we wouldn't be in such a situation now, but I concur with the ability of NNDC to do exactly this program and don't support this as it's come forward tonight.
Herb? The apparent bid structure is in question because I saw nothing but a little bit of subjective information pertaining to the bid. The renewal project apparently has turned into a trident instead of a spear, and we seem to be approaching this in multiple ways. And I believe this should be turned down because we don't really need a third way to do the same job.
I agree with my fellow councilman. I don't know what else to add other than I'm kind of curious why in this RFP there is a note in there that they're just looking for for-profit businesses to do this project, and I don't know if we state that in all our other RFPs or not, but it just kind of jumped out at me. And the other thing, the council passed not too long ago an ordinance saying that we would give North Glen businesses preference if they had the ability to complete the projects, and I don't see anywhere that NNDC could not complete the project, so I would not be able to support this.
Other comments or discussion?
I agree with everything everybody else has said. So maybe Irv, I don't know about I think we've talked about the three prong, but the other reason why we should have the trident versus the spear. But I agree. I toured the last hub that they did, Linda Sue Lane, and I was I've been impressed with the quality of the construction that they've done on their homes. And I do think we should try and support our local efforts.
Any other discussion, Gene?
I will support the resolution. Of the three who responded to the proposal, thanks to Councilmember Monroe today, we got the details on the experience of PG Construction and Value Builders, and it's very extensive in actually conducting these types of flips or fix-ups, etc. And they're both very experienced. NNDC is not experienced in this in any way. Can they stand up to the background and experience of the other two companies?
Other discussion from council? Is there anything, any comments, Bill, from staff or...
I think that the staff report outlines the reasons that were given. I mean, there was an RFP process to build some competition in the process. Out of that, three entities, three contractors were shortlisted. The decision was made through that process about the ability to perform, experience to do it, the timing involved, how to turn around a building and get it on the market, so that we can get this program, again, putting more money back into the units as they come along. So, those were the reasons, is that there was a demonstrated experience by Value Builders to go ahead and get that done in the manner in which we get done in a timely manner and keep the program moving along.
I just have a question. It was my understanding that NNDC had made a decision to cease operations or put things on hold at the end of last year. Was I incorrect in that? And I know we've got one board member here, but you know, in some conversations we had, I thought that was the intent.
Can we ask them before we come forward?
Yeah. Would you mind? I know it's really kind of putting you on the spot.
I know I did ask them what they were going to do, and they were going to try and operate with off the profits of Linda Sue Lane House, which sold, and get through. But I, you know, so I understand that there are questions about their financial viability, but and that's one reason we need to support them. But but that wasn't one of the considerations that was asked for in the RFP, and I don't think to rule them out based on that is appropriate. But I'm. Want to hear. I don't know if Wayne, if you have anything else you want to say, or Kim.
You know, after
would you come up just so we can get you on the tape?
Wayne Dodge, NNDC. As of the turn of last year and stuff, we knew that we with money and the economy the way it was, and NNDC not being a prior, we knew we were in tough shape and everything, and through this year, and then getting turned down in the budget. Things made it a little more difficult, and myself even thought that we couldn't make it very far. And it still is. We have iffy ground in front of us. But after we had pretty good success on Linda Sue Lane there, the house that we did and paid for as we went, that was, of course, eaten into our budget and our reserves and stuff. But we have just closed on that. I think it was early last week. And I don't know the exact profit on that house, but enough that funds us to get through, you know, part of this year. So yeah, we're still in financial problems, but this is we have money to operate at this time. We don't have the money to fund to do a house, which, you know, I mean, it's at the council's discretion. I hope that answer. I mean, I can't give you any different answers.
Right. No,
should I ask? Did NNDC apply for the HEROES grant?
We did for the state.
Yes.
Yes.
And there hasn't been any answers yet.
We haven't heard anything back now. Not that I'm aware of.
We had submit a letter of intent to apply. They have not opened up an application process. Those funds from the state will actually funnel through the county, and then the county will be funneling the funds that was both addressed to the county, or to the county and to the state, to the cities and the municipalities.
But that's a very small part.
We put out that we will apply for those.
And if they're received, how stable is that going to make the organization or the projects?
I can't give you answers to that. I mean, that money, the way I understand, 100% of it has to be used. There is no profit involved in that, which right. I still feel like kind of odd being if you had profit organizations and a nonprofit. That, I mean, that's we are a nonprofit, you know, the homegrown company here. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't have a direct answer for that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. It's my understanding of that money. I was down at the Capitol with CML, with Sam Animate yesterday in CML, and we talked with the DOLA people about the HERA money. It's $350 million, so it's not a whole lot of money. It's about, what they say, 200 houses, I think, that you could buy for that amount of money, or with an average of $200,000. But it's a loan, basically. You have to give it back, the entire amount back, after 5 years. But for 5 years, you get an increase in due and whatever you can do to take and make that money better. So hopefully North Glen will be lucky and get in that process and be able to have those funds. I still would like to see us try and have NNDC do this, because although NNDC has not been in the business of just doing flips, they do fabulous work. And the work that they have done has been on a burned-out building, which was to basically reconstruct it. And they reconstructed one of our homes into a three-story home. And they, you know, they've completely redone things. I think the smallest project you did was on number one, and that was adding a garage and a kick out the back. So it's been additions, as well as upgrading those homes. So they do a whole lot more. So I think they have the ability to take and do what they need to do.
Any other comments?
Mayor, if I may. I'd like to have Jim, maybe if we could get a little bit more detail about how the program works, what we as a city, our responsibilities are, and what we're looking for in a partner in this project to move forward, because there is working capital that needs the partner needs to put up with this project the way that it is designed. So if you just want to take a little bit and have Jim explain that to you, I think it'd be helpful in your decision-making process.
Jim?
Thank you. Jim Hayes, Director of Planning and Development. Thank you, Mayor and Council, for allowing me to amplify on what I wrote in the memo. I've got an example of how the program would work. We actually did some research just yesterday and identified, right now there's about 100 homes in Northland that are under $200,000. 22 of those are at short sale, and 10 are owned by lenders. So we have about essentially one-third that are in the distressed category. We ran some sample numbers, and I'm just going to go and hand this out. We don't have to go through this in great detail, but I just want to let you know where we were coming from with this.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
If you have these and you have the numbers and stuff and numbers were an issue, why did you not ask about the financial solvability of people?
I wanted to touch on that, actually. One of the things that we did put into the RFP itself, under the bidder presentations, we said the objective of the presentation is for bidders to demonstrate to the city they have the ability to execute the successful completion of the project. That was number one. But under the scope of work, we did ask for them to include information on experience to design, plan, and complete renovations, and especially of ability of bidder to fund renovations up front. And so when we went through the initial proposals, we identified NNDC, Value Builders, and PG Construction as three companies that looked like they had done this type of work before and on the scale we were looking for. When we came into the actual interview process, the other two companies were actually gave us real examples of how their program would fit what we're looking to do, that they had done this type of thing before, that they're actually able to fund the renovations up front, get paid at the end when the property is closed. NNDC did explain that they were having some challenges, but that they probably would be able to do it once they sold the Linda Sue Lane house. The big thing that we're concerned about is that this has to be an ongoing project for many years and hopefully serve as a model for the NSP and the HERA funds that we're going to get, and we can plug some more money into this type of program. Frankly, the group that looked at it, which was myself, Deb Gray, Rick Davis, and Pat Brittenstein, we were all concerned that they just might not have the ability to fund those improvements up front, and it could delay the project or not even allow it to work at all.
So do you have a ballpark figure about what funding the project up front means without
Yes.
having a house?
Yes. We've identified there's roughly four homes right now that are lender-owned that are under $120,000 that are on the market. And again, that's just retail. We know there's probably some wholesale things that are happening out there.
Okay.
The county is assisting us in trying to work with some of the larger lenders, so maybe we can partner with other cities to acquire some more of these properties. But we just pulled these retail numbers. We had plugged in a number of $15,000 for improvements.
Mm-hmm.
The way Value Builders had explained that to us is that they get discounts, which are very similar to the big home builders. An example they gave was a 60% discount on cabinets, so they get them virtually at cost. And then they're able to actually fund all that up front. And then they partner with us and receive their proceeds or their profit on the back end when we sell the property.
Okay. So I think NNDC has a cabinet supplier also. So.
And the one thing that I noticed in the RFPs that I did take some time and actually go through all these things this afternoon, NNDC was the only one that supplied you with any kind of an amount of funding that, you know, what it would be per unit to cost out a refrigerator or a kitchen or whatever it was. None of the others did that. So I don't even know how you're comparing them at that point because they don't have that in their responses.
One of the things that we did see in the presentation, and Value Builders had given some examples of homes that they had done, how much they put into the homes in general. They didn't break it down line by line. the big thing is that we want to be stewards of this money, because it is coming from HUD, it is coming from the county. There is going to be an audit at the end. We want to make sure that we're being very close and careful with this money. NNDC's done 4 homes. They've done an outstanding job, I agree. They've taken some of the toughest homes we've had, and they've made them beautiful. And we've got people living in them now, and it's turned out really great for the community. They haven't shown that they've got the ability to make that self-sufficient, and we really want to make this program self-sufficient. Value Builders, on the other hand, has done 75 homes over the last 4 years. They have a team of 7 different franchises throughout the metropolitan area. They said they could actually come in and do multiple homes at one time if we got to that point, and they have never lost money on any single one of those homes. That by itself really showed us that they were the ones that we wanted to go with this project.
Sherry?
I think what I'm saying is this doesn't rule out Value Builders for next year or the year after, but I'd really like us to go back and look at NNDC this year, and if they can, we're only dealing with $150,000, but with HERA funds, isn't it a statement that they have put into their criterion that we not make a profit on anything that we use these funds for? So to turn around and say that we're going to use HERA funds on something like this and we're trying to turn a profit is, it just doesn't make sense. Plus, I think this is a really ideal picture of what we're looking at, but if the city turns around and purchases homes and then holds a deed, then we have to become landlords, we have to pay water, we have to pay lights, we have to make sure that the house is secure, that things aren't getting broken, that people aren't going in there and using it as a crack house, whatever. And so I think that adds a whole lot more to the liability portion and the general fund side and cutting into profits and whatnot, and I just don't think that the city should be doing that. Joyce?
In all due respect to you, Jim, but you know in the past year that the staff has not been favorably tuned towards NNDC, and I really don't think the people that were on that board were really objective in their opinions. So I think staff is really biased against NNDC. This is my opinion.
Other discussion? I have when NNDC started, it was with all the best things in mind, and I support NNDC. I have concerns about the ability to make it self-sustaining. I think there were some plans that were coming together at the end of the year or early last year. I have my doubts, but at this point, I would be willing to refer this back to staff to see if we could work something out, if NNDC could put together a plan that would make this a more sustainable program. But I also share some concerns that if we don't get this up and going, we're going to miss out.
Yeah.
And we're going to miss a window of opportunity. And I really do think that we are an example in Colorado, and frankly across the nation, of what can be done and how it can be done well if we do it well. I am concerned about NNDC's ability to do that, but if I'm understanding the timing of this, that the funds aren't available till March, must be spent by February, we might have a couple of weeks to see if we could satisfy, at least satisfy me, in terms of NNDC's ability to actually carry this program through. I'm willing to go with that for now, but if push came to shove, if I wasn't convinced, I think we really have to be careful taking federal dollars and putting it in a place that we may, if it doesn't come through, if they're not sustainable, you know, we're the ones holding the bag on that too. So I'm willing to see if we could bring this back in another couple of weeks with getting some more information from NNDC, if that's possible.
May I point out just two?
Sure, please.
I guess
understanding things.
Procedural things. Mm-hmm. Number one, the way the county had looked at this, For example, we had the Help for Homes program. We designated Brothers Redevelopment as a subgrantee. The way we had designed this program is that City of North Glenn would still be the grantee, and since Value Builders would not be receiving any of the actual money, we did not have to go through that and make them a subgrantee. So if I understand what you're saying is, we're not making NNDC a subgrantee, we're going to still manage the project. I guess I'm just a little confused if on that part of it. And then the second thing is that Mr. Sullivan has come here obviously numerous times, sometimes with his board, sometimes without. I did call out here that one time he came in August, and he sat here and said, we do not serve a low mod income population, and we do not want CDBG funds. So I feel there's some kind of conflict there, because he's now all of a sudden they really want him, and I mean, it's there are some strings attached he's going to have to follow if we're going to go through with it.
And if I recall some of the conversations, it's not that they did not want CDBG money, but there were certain levels that some of the staff had put in place that you could use CDBG money the year before for the same, and then when they went to apply for it the following year, they couldn't use it for whatever reason. So I don't know that it's really that they won't use CDBG money, but I think that there has to be some kind of an explanation of how and how they can be used. Because if you read in even in the proposal, they have in the past used CDBG money. So I think that's taken out of context.
Sherry Gay. I've had conversations with different people on NNDC and NNDC staff, and I think the elements in this game have changed dramatically by the fact that the city is not able to fund them this year. And in order to remain a viable entity, they're willing to do other work. And I think that if they can stay afloat doing other work like this, I'm happy to help them do that, because they have really worked hard. We sent them out to do something nobody had done before, and it started from scratch. And it they're great people working on there. There's a great board put together with a lot of heavy hitters that can bring a lot to the community, and they're all North Glenn root-based people. So I really think that it's important to keep it going. I think some of Mr. Sullivan's statement is I think some of that has changed, and I know that they're willing to conform to whatever the requirements are for CDBG money to be used. So I don't think that that's a problem.
Councilwoman Pies covered it. Thanks.
My perception in some conversations as this ball rolled along was that NNDC was put in a position where they could not comply. And so therefore NNDC said we can't comply, so we can't enter into it. And that was my perception at the time. The other item I'd like to bring up is we've had a private developer appear before us on two occasions offering to develop some of these same properties, and I see that I don't know about the credibility of this developer. However, I believe there is some private enterprise out there that may be interested in developing some of these properties. I just don't know. I don't know what's in that field, but the man has been presented to us. I don't think there was any action taken by way of follow-up to pursue that avenue.
I would move to table CR 12 until February 26th to get additional information from NNDC as to their ability to be sustainable.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to table CR 12, and that, again, is February 26th. Discussion on the motion to table.
I'd rather just kill it and have them bring it back when we are ready to address follow-up note a table.
Okay. I wouldn't like to see this table for such a short period of time. I don't believe it would give people proper time to react to the demands that's being placed on them.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right. Hearing none, please open the motion. Open the vote on the motion to table. And please vote.
We'll close that vote, and the motion to table CR 12 fails with 3 affirmative votes cast by Mayor Novak, Council Members Parsons, and Monroe.
Then that moves us back to the main motion, which is to approve CR 12. Would you please open that vote?
Now we'll close that vote, and CR 12 fails with 1 affirmative vote cast by Council Member Winicky.
Next, we move on to CR 13, which is the Rocky Flats Stewardship Council IGA. If you please read the title.
A resolution regarding triennial determination for the continuation of the Rocky Flats Stewardship Council.
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve CR 13. Any discussion? Hearing none, please open the vote. Please vote.
We'll close that vote, and CR 13 passes unanimously.
Before we go on, I want to just ask staff. Mr. Briggs had asked 3 questions, and when it comes back, can we make sure that there's clarification on those 3 questions on CR 12? Next is CR 14. Would you please read the title?
A resolution approving an intergovernmental agreement between the City of North Glen and Urban Drainage and Flood Control District regarding the Washington Street Detention Area Project.
Move approval.
Second.
So moved and seconded to approve CR 14. Discussion. Hearing none, please open the vote.
We'll close that vote, and CR 14 passes unanimously.
Next, we'll move on to discussion items. We have one this evening, requested by Council Member Winicky, the survey of rates charged for legal services. Gene?
Yes. quite a long time ago, Corey sent in a request for an increase in the hourly rate, and he offered to defer it based on the economic conditions for a certain period of time, and we've never answered him. And I think one thing we might do, though, to get this process going is we should go out, and after all the years with the same firm, it might be worthwhile to go out and obtain comparative prices for legal services. Just an idea.
Any discussion?
I agree. I think we're in tough times, and I think we need to look at everything and anything.
Okay. I'm in agreement as well.
I think it's fine to go out and look for that. I think we need to be very clear, though, on what we're asking. You know, some cities have in-house counsel, and then they contract out for other things. I think the key would be to make sure that we're looking at apples to apples and making sure that we're getting good information. I don't have a problem with seeing what the rates are. I think we're probably getting a bargain, and that will reinforce it. We'll find that out. So, and perhaps if we could get some assistance from staff to make sure, and you know, proposal on what kinds of information we'll be asking for to survey.
Well, that was going to be my question. It started out as doing a rate survey, but I'm not sure that's how it's ending up at this point. I don't know whether it's a full RFP for legal services right now. I think it's the rates, just doing a survey of the rates.
Right.
That's okay. All right.
I think it might be useful, though, while you're doing the survey, just to see how many cities are doing it in-house. I would think that we're probably not big enough to have a full-time. We don't keep you busy full-time. But maybe you would, as part of the survey, we can also just look and see what other cities are doing in-house.
Corey, do you have any comments on things that we should be aware of and looking and comparing?
No, not whatsoever. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them. But I agree that apples to apples is important, and I'm confident you're going to find that I think we are below market, but I would encourage you to do that.
Okay. All right. So should we put a timeline as to when we would like this information back? Or when do you think it's reasonable, Bill, for us to?
Well, your next regular meetings are going to be on the 12th and the 26th, so as soon as possible, either one of those meetings.
Okay.
And I assume the sooner the better. So.
Well, and I think Corey, you said June?
Was that July 1,
July?
I think.
July 1?
I did say July 1st, but also said consider extending it depending on the conditions.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay.
Surveying the rates is not going to be a very time-consuming
right.
process.
Yeah. Okay. Right, any other discussion on that? All right. We'll move then on to communications. Are there any by council? Jane, we'll start here.
No.
Susan?
I attended the last Planning Commission meeting where it was the last comprehensive planning, and I think it wasn't as that well attended. The park was heavily biased in favor of the Parks Board, I think. But we did have one of our Planning Commissioners' term ended, and he opted not to. So we are now at four members on the Planning Commission, which is the number needed for a quorum. So I would encourage you to get out there and tell your citizens we need applicants for that. And then also my annual reminder that it's tax season, and over at the North Glen Rec Center, there are going to be volunteers doing free tax preparation for those people making under $40,000 a year. They're on starting next week. Mondays 2 to 7 p.m., Tuesdays 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and Thursdays from 4 to 7 p.m. They do your taxes for free, and they e-file it for free, and you can't beat that. So I would encourage people to use that services if they're making under $40,000 a year. And I'm starting that volunteer work, but I'm not doing it at the rec center.
Joyce?
I just have one announcement, and that's that the annual Adams County Young Adult Job Fair is going to be held on February 25th from 10 to 3 over at Adams County Fairgrounds. And the participants are really pushing for volunteer positions in the different organizations and cities, too. And it's for students that are looking for part-time jobs or permanent jobs, or maybe just some volunteer work, you know, throughout the season. So that's going to happen.
Okay. I have nothing this evening. Sherry?
Nothing.
Okay.
I was with Sam at CMO yesterday. He took us on a tour of the Capitol, which was quite interesting. He is just a real wealth of knowledge. He's also very well known. I mean, I think there was probably 24 people that came up and said hi, and he knows every one of the sergeants at arms by first names. So I was very impressed with that.
Oh, it's indicative he's been around for a long time.
Yeah,
he
said 1980 was when he started down there. So. But he also reminded me that, and he wanted me to share with all of you, that the CML Legislative Workshop will be held on Wednesday, February 25th. The Legislative Policy Meeting will be held on Thursday, February 26th. Also, we got notice this week that the Metro Mayor's Council's Youth Awards will be held at Adams County Fairground at the Golf Course Clubhouse on Friday, March 20th from 6 to 9.
Jill?
The North Glen Arts and Humanities Foundation is very excited about their new website. They asked me to announce it. It's at northglenarts.org. And they already have submissions coming in for the next Art on Parade, which is significantly earlier than they usually get. So they're excited about that.
And I understand there are several international.
Right, from all over the place. They've got some domestic, but I think they even had one from India, if I remember correctly. And for the Parks and Rec Advisory Board on February 9th in Chambers here at 6 o'clock, they will be having their public hearing for their Parks Master Plan. So please come and provide input.
Okay, Eric?
No.
Okay. Joanna, anything from your office?
Nothing tonight,
Bill?
I'd like to just follow up comments regarding the capital improvement program. Again, I want to point out that we only have one project slated for 2009 that is funded through general fund monies. All the rest are either Adams County Open Space or Adams County Transportation money, which is designated for certain uses. So if it isn't used for that purpose, I mean, it'll get rolled over and be used again, but it cannot be used for general operating expenses. And the Webster Lake Shoreline is the project that's going to be funded by Adams County Open Space. You will be getting a full briefing on the plan for the street projects and the capital improvement projects at the February 5th study session. So we'll get a chance to review in detail with you the program for 2009.
Corey?
Nothing this evening.
All right. Then at this point, I invite anybody else in the audience who would like to address council. You have a limit of 10 minutes per speaker. Is there anyone who would like to speak to council?
Dr. Sean Reif, Ward 1. Sickness is a business. It's a big business. Under the guise of protecting the public, you have all been taught that drugs will do the work of the body that it is somehow incapable of doing. No one questions why is the body not doing what it's designed to do and programmed to do. The results are parents who are willing to subject themselves and their children to medical rituals. Runny noses, PMS, incontinence, restless leg, even shyness now require medications, all lowering the threshold of what is medically considered normal. Chiropractors are the only ones to stand up in the face of the gargantuan medical pharmaceutical steamroller. You may ask, why are chiropractors even tolerated? That's easy. The public wants what we do. And the public elects government officials. The public is not allowed to hear the wellness message for fear that it may detract from the pill popping and the drug dealing. We should allow a population to be healthy. It all begins with marketing, perception, public awareness, and money. Follow the money. The media, drug companies, immunization campaigns, scare tactics. Drug companies are systematically working to widen the boundaries of what is considered illness. What do you consider illness, Ms. Mayor? Where is your state of Colorado regulatory license? Where is your malpractice insurance, your overhead? A man has staff and families and utilities and supplies and magazines. I'm paying bills. I'm running the business, Mayor, just like 11 other DCs in North Glen. I see North Glen folk every day that I'm in practice. I have excelled in nine years of undergraduate and postgraduate studies and 15 years of private practice. I have satisfied customers. You don't stay in business for 15 years without doing a lot of things right. It's my goal to do the same things over and over and over again in repetition with excellence every time. And you have city staff handing out drug discounts on the street corners of North Glen. Where is their medical training, Mayor? On another bent, the sewer water service agreement with AWR is a great idea. I'm surprised the North Glen entrepreneur didn't think of it first. Plumbing services, concrete, landscaping, all taking a cut in preferred provider services, while our $200 a month is going to New Jersey. They're guaranteeing services with local companies. They're collecting the money and organizing our behavior. Which brings another question. Why are we buying polycarts in North Carolina? Isn't there an industrial plastics company here in Colorado that makes the same thing? Hey, how about designing one that is better and selling the remainder and generate revenue for our experience? If it didn't cost the city of North Glen a dime, then who's paying for it, Mayor? National League of Cities, Where do they get their money? Pharmaceutical companies? I ask, follow the money. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to address council? Seeing no one come forward, we are adjourned.